Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, Wisconsin Primary Eve, but also, Dominic, Minnesota Partisan Primary Eve. Tomorrow's going to be a very big day. We are going to do extended coverage right here on Devil Radio and the Shaw. We're also going to do it on Bull Falls Radio, and our friends listening in River Falls on WFHR will join us after the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters game. In progress. They'll join the extended coverage in progress. But quick note for our AM 950 listeners up in Minneapolis, what you need to know about tomorrow's Minnesota primary.
Oh, do tell, Curdy.
Well, Dom, there's a lot of little races, but there's only one statewide race. Here's a couple of notes you should know, Minnesotans. As of Friday, more than 107,000 absentee ballots had been accepted for the state primary election, according to the Secretary of State's office. Just so you know, this is far fewer absentee ballots compared with the 2020 primary, in which there were nearly 544,000 ballots accepted. Minnesotans likely seeking more absentee ballots in the early months of 2020 because of COVID-19. Now, back in 2018 in Minnesota, there were only 144,000 absentee ballots that were accepted. So it's more comparable to the pre-pandemic numbers. Let me tell you, Dom, about the statewide race. That's the one I wanted to get to. Where is it here? Where is it? One statewide race to watch, and this, and I'd love to hear from you fine folks listening in Minnesota at 844-967-2789, the Attorney General's race. And we want to talk about that here in the state of Wisconsin as well. We've kind of given it short shift, Dom, but here's the one in Minnesota. The only major contest is on the Republican side, where the Republican primary for Minnesota Attorney General is between candidates Jim Schultz and Doug Wardlow. Schultz, a Harvard law grad, is GOP endorsed. Wardlow was the 2018 GOP nominee. And in the meantime, Dom, he has worked as general counsel for MyPillow.
Ugh.
The Minnesota company founded by 2020 election denier and Trump buddy Mike Lindell. Now, we got a double dose of Lindell at the Trump rally. First and foremost, they had the pre-recorded CPAC speech, which was described as unhinged, CPAC in Dallas. Now, we were at the Friday night event. Trump spoke at CPAC on Saturday, but Lindell had already spoken. And then, as a special treat to the rally goers in Waukesha,
you're welcome,
they had live Mike Lindell on the big screen. Like, oh, I'm crazy, Mike Lindell. I'm to sell you some pillows.
Trump was 90 minutes late, so they had some fill. So they started pulling all the wackadoodles out from the CPAC on the live screen. And Mike Lindell was one of them.
Well, he was like the filler in his pillows, not of good quality.
And now what? Now his former general former general counsel to MyPillow, he's running for Attorney General of the state of Minnesota.
What greater qualifications than working for Mike Lindell? I mean, that guy is probably getting sued every day, right?
I mean, it's busy work. I don't know if he gets paid enough.
That's just for defamation, Doc. Here in the state of Wisconsin, we barely talked about this race. The Democrat, the incumbent, Josh Call, and he was heartily booed at the Republican rally, right? Most people don't know who he is, but they booed him.
Boo, if he's a Dem, he's a Dem. Communist, socialist, progressive, gotta boo him, Marxist.
Now, the Republican field is down to two. There had been another candidate, and after it turned out he was deleting some public records over at his job at the Tommy Thompson Center, I believe, he dropped out of the race. And the two remaining are former, state lawmaker Adam Jarkow. That's Joel Clayfish's buddy. Clayfish endorsed Jarkow. And Fond du Lac DA Eric Toney. And Dom, they were having some interesting exchanges. I know you've got that, but I wanted to talk about the money being spent on that race. Pardon me. Campaign finance reports show Americans for Prosperity, well, they're not candidates. Why would Americans for Prosperity, that's Koch Brothers Group, why would they wade in with $550,000 in a Republican primary? Why wouldn't you just let it work itself out? And then, you know, if you were supportive, get involved later. So they're $550,000 supporting Jarkow, according to, you know, I guess these are disclosures. The group spent $383,000 on mailers. That's a lot of freaking junk mail. Now I see both Rebecca Clayfish and Michaels and really the people supporting Adam Steen, they're all out with late mailers. And I'm thinking to myself, has anyone in the history of elections ever been persuaded by a four-color junk mail?
I mean, I don't know that they're great pieces to engage, but if you see it and you happen to vote and you're not really dialed in, you see a name, maybe you'll just write the last name of the last mailer you saw. I'm not a fan of the junk mail because this makes more work for me. I want them to pay me to dispose of their junk mail, but that's another story.
Yeah, you and Kramer have a similar advocacy in that regard. Anyways, a lot of money getting spent. The Badger Values Pack spent $207,000 approximately on two TV ad buys in support of Jarkow last month and $201,000 on two other ad buys opposing Toney. So, you know, they're equal opportunity. They're for Jarkow and against Toney, spending in both columns. And the National Rifle Association Political Victory Fund spent $1,629 on text message campaigns and endorsement postcards in support of Jarkow.
Is anybody spending any money on Toney? I mean, what about Eric Toney? No love for Eric Toney?
I don't think there's a lot of love for Eric Toney.
Well, I Crudy, and Daniel Bice from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel may have some insight to that.
Wait, one more thought.
All right.
You may actually like one of the advocacies of Adam Jarkow, Attorney General candidate, Republican.
Legal weed?
He is.
Yeah, good.
That's my understanding. No, I've never smoked one with the guy, but, you know, if he's willing, I'm willing. Meet you in the parking lot about 4:20, sir.
Tomorrow. As mentioned, Bice. The headline, Republican Attorney General candidates disagree over whether America has a history of racism.
No, yes, maybe.
This is not a rhetorical question. Let me jump into this just a little bit. Folks, you can join us also on the phones, 844-967-2789.
Does Bice America writes, have a history of racism, these Republicans? Inquiring minds want to know.
Hey, I don't want any CRT going on here now. Come on. Next thing you know, we're all going to stop going to church and have abortions. Here is what Bice writes. This is just how far the party of
Dom,
president.
I remember your three abortions in college.
I know. It's all right. Abraham Lincoln, the political party that put an end to slavery has come. The two Republican Party candidates for Wisconsin Attorney General are in a dispute over whether America has a history of racism. Really? Truly? Back on June 1st of 2020, Fond du Lac District Attorney Eric Toney wrote an extended and thoughtful piece on Facebook reflecting on the death of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police officer the previous week. Toney wrote that those responsible for Floyd's death should be brought to justice, but that the justice system could only do so much. A quote from Tony: convictions won't bring George back, nor can they erase the emotions of this week or the history of racism that led to this moment. Pretty safe sentiment, right? Not in today's Republican Party.
Yeah, that sounds way too reasonable.
That was back in the good old days of 2020. As Bice writes, Tony is being opposed in the GOP primary by State Rep. Adam Jarko, a Republican from Balsam Lake. The election is tomorrow, with the winner going on to face Democratic Attorney General Josh Call. In a recent mailer, Jarko suggested Tony could not be trusted because of several of his recent statements and actions. Among them, Tony's claim that America has a history of racism, citing his June 2020 Facebook post. Tony was also accused of saying he was absolutely in favor of police reform, botching a Fond du Lac County criminal case that led to the death of a firefighter, and charging several people with violating Democratic Governor Tony Evers' Safer at Home order early in the pandemic. The charges were eventually dropped.
Tyrannical! They should hang this guy in the square. Not that I'm advocating violence.
No, no, of course not. We're not hanging Mike Pence here. Can you really trust Eric Tony, the Jarko mailer says? His record is clear. Eric Tony can't be trusted. Is it really true that a major Republican Party candidate can't say America has a history of racism, including nearly 250 years of slavery and decades of government-mandated segregation, without coming under attack? Question mark?
Dom, do you recall at the Trump rally the other day, they said, you know, Ripon, Wisconsin was the birthplace of the Republican Party.
Yes.
But that Republican Party is dead. The Republican Party of Abe Lincoln was killed by Donald Trump coming down. And what was the first words out of his mouth as he ran for president? Oh, he was talking about the immigrants, the murderers and rapists.
I'm sure they have good people, too.
I'm sure. A couple. Come back with us.
The Republican Party, murdered by Donald Trump and his cult. Reborn, they also said, in New York and Trump Tower.
He is risen.
Never really understood that whole thing, but I guess.
More
so,
like-
so long, Republican Party. Nice to know ya. And if you're running as a Republican in Wisconsin, hell, across this country, if you dare suggest that America has a problem with history, a problem with racism, you know, 250 years of slavery, decades of government-mandated segregation, apparently you're just too CRT for the megas. Folks, we're the Devil's Advocates. Come right back with us, 844-967-2789.
Say, man, you got a joint?
I got a joint here, man. I've been saving for a special occasion.
The Devil's Advocates. Rock and roll political commentary in a top 40 world.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
Let's go to him. I believe Ross from Middleton, my hometown, is next. Ross, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Ross.
Hey guys. Just a quick reaction to Republicans and racism. If one talks about the racial racism in this country, within seconds, you can watch their heads expand and explode. If you teach this, you know, racial history in school, the kids of Republicans will FaceTime their parents, tell them, and then watch their parents on their cell phone watch their heads explode. I mean, you can't talk with these people about racism. It's just like it's an unspoken. You're not supposed to talk about it. But the reason I called though was. I listened to your guys' broadcast of that Trump debacle. That talk about a guy that has no mojo. But specifically Michaels. You know, Michaels is like this guy that's kind of hollering at the crowd. You know, kind of got this growly voice. You almost think Tommy Thompson, but he doesn't have Thompson's sense of humor. And being a Connecticut guy, he doesn't even really have a sense of Wisconsin. And it was just sort of.
I heard no nasal twang, Ross. You know, like we do it here.
And the thing that really sort of, I realized he's a jerk. When he made that snide remark about, you know, kids going to, I forgot what the expression was, you know, he was making a joke about, or not a joke, he was making a snide comment about kids that may be gender, you know, identification issues or whatever, you know, a drag show. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm not going to have my kids go to some drag show. I thought, this guy's a jerk. And I sure hope that Wisconsin sees that, because I don't think Wisconsin likes jerks for whatever office.
Well, they might in a partisan Republican primary, Ross.
It's entirely possible.
I think that Tim Michaels will win the vast majority of the state tomorrow. I bet he wins like 58 to 60 counties. And the only chance Rebecca has, Rebecca Clayfish, is to turn out overvote in the wild counties. If she doesn't turn them out like Leah Vukmer turned them out, I mean, Leah Vukmer crushed Nicholson in Waukesha, which is ironic because he's got the shop in Waukesha. I did think about calling the property manager there where WAUK is located, because they have this internal policy where if they manage a property, you can move your shop into a different property. And I've been asking for months about that Nicholson place. Like, hey, is that going to be available like August 10th? And anyways, it became available, you would think, right, a little bit out earlier, but they still got the no better friend signs. So I guess Uline's still paying the rent there. But it didn't help him turn out the votes in Waukesha.
Yeah.
And I continue to point out, Tim Michaels has made the airwaves filthy on radio ads all across the state.
Well, he spent like $8 million of his own money in this effort.
Yeah, but Rebecca Clayfish could not match that effort, not financially. She didn't have the ads outstate. She might have had the ads in the important media markets. She might have played them in Milwaukee and Madison. And Milwaukee is like the third largest county for Republican turnout. And Madison, Dane, would be like the fourth largest Wisconsin county for Republican turnout. But outstate, like where Trump was popular, where Nicholson was popular, and where Tim Michaels is going to be very popular, when you start seeing the vote tallies come in from outstate, it's going to be all red. But just understand, there might be 1,000 vote margin in a lot of those counties. Tops 1,000 votes.
Yeah, right. I mean, some of the smaller counties in the upper Wisconsin, from upper Wisconsin, have, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 people in the entire county.
Yes.
Trust me.
The one that Duran's in's got like 20,000. Pepin County is pretty small. There's look at like Menominee County. I don't know if there's anything quite that small. But anyways, like smaller than a Trump rally in Waukesha?
Yeah, man.
That's pretty small.
Well, this is what I'm telling you. Florence County has 4,300. Menominee County, 4,500. Iron County, 5,600. Pepin County, 2,700. Forest County, 9,000. Buffalo County finally getting into the 13,000. So, you know, of the 60, the last six or the five smallest counties are less than 10,000 people entirely, let alone of voting age and let alone those who actually will get off their ass and go vote.
In a partisan primary.
In a partisan primary,
and
right.
And then you got to be a Republican, which is the vast majority of the people in those little 5,000 people counties, probably. I don't know, because we never played on the radio there. If you're in Pepin County and you can hear us on a stream right, or like on the crazy science of AM radio, you know, give us a call, 844-967-2789. Once again, we will have special extended coverage when the polls close tomorrow in the great state of Wisconsin at 8 o'clock, we will cover the Wisconsin primary outcomes and, of course, the Wisconsin senatorial, I guess the U.S. Senate race, the Democrat side, though. As we've mentioned, there will be little or no drama there because Mandela Barnes has basically earned the endorsement of all the other candidates. But Stephen Olakara's team's trying awfully hard. I got like a personal call from Team Olakara. And I thought it was like an interview request. Like, hey, man, can we sneak him on one last time? Right. No, they're offering me Olakara for a personal conversation, you know, to try and win me over. Like, he's got time to talk to every individual voter that wants to hear more about Olcara.
Hey, it's like Ted Cruz walking around the diner, shaking everybody's hand.
Indiana, baby. It's like, I got a little too much time for each and every one of you because I'm desperate for every single possible vote.
Mommy, the greasy man is scaring me. Can I just eat my pancakes?
Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocates. It's a Monday. That means tomorrow's a Tuesday. And in the great state of Wisconsin and Minnesota, it's election day. So if you got any thoughts on election day, you know, if you're excited to cross over, maybe go vote in a Republican gubernatorial primary and then go vote for Adam Steen, 844-96-PARTY, because that sounds like a great strategic plan.
Did you see anything?
No, sir. I didn't see you playing with your dolls again.
Good.
Percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition, the happier happy hour. Always happier with your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Don't be shy. If you're hearing us for the first, second, third time, whatever. We barely bite. Dom likes to bite, but, you know, only
just a gentle nibble.
Dom, I couldn't believe Democrats got something done this week.
I know, dude. It's like actual governance and laws getting passed and stuff going on instead of just name-calling and, you know, crapping all over the Capitol.
Well, they kind of crapped all over Mitch McConnell and the Republicans. Apparently, they backdoored these shyster Democrats, you know, using reconciliation and they voted the vice president to push this through along partisan lines, Dom. And what are they trying to do? I know it's a inflation reduction bill. But what's that mean? I don't even know what that means.
just give it a name to address what's going on right now. A little bit here from Tony Rome from the Washington Post. The Senate Sunday approved a sweeping package to combat climate change, lower health care costs, raise taxes on some billion-dollar corporations, and reduce the federal deficit. As Democrats overcame months of political infighting to deliver the centerpiece to President Biden's long-stalled economic agenda. And just in time, remember, we have some elections going on tomorrow. So, I mean, this is all good, right? Climate change, big problem. Lower healthcare costs, good, good. Raise taxes on billionaire corporations that are paying jack. Yeah, that's a good idea. And reduce the federal deficit. I mean, up to like $300 billion in deficit reduction. These are huge. Dubbed the Inflation Reduction Act, it would authorize the biggest burst of spending in U.S. history to tackle global warming, about $370 billion to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to 40% below their 2005 levels by the end of this decade. The proposal will also make good on Democrats' years-long pledge to reduce prescription drug costs for the elderly. I mean, is this good? This is good, right? We want to do those things.
Medicare is good. The failure, and actually, six or seven Democrats went along with Republicans to strip the cap of insulin at $35. Now, that remains the cap through the Medicare, and that part of the bill was intact through the vote. But the cap, the public cap of $35 insulin, that's gone.
That's gone. Parliamentarian determined that was not part of, could not use that in reconciliation. So, of course, the Republicans are just vindictive and mad, like they were about the bill with the vets and the burn pits, because they didn't get this other bill to go the way they want. So I'm going to jam this one up. I mean, from a political standpoint, the Republicans look terrible. From a legislative standpoint, the Republicans look terrible. Just one more paragraph here, and then we can move on to other issues. In part by tweaking federal tax laws, chiefly to target tax cheats and some billion-dollar companies that pay nothing to the government, the bill is expected to raise enough money to cover its new spending. Wow, and it's paid for? Democrats say the measure is also expected to generate an additional $300 billion for reducing projected budget deficits over the next 10 years, although they have not yet furnished a final fiscal analysis of their legislation.
Let's go to the phones, Dom, 844-967-2789. We do have some senatorial sound as well, but I'd rather talk to the audience. Robert from West Ellis. Welcome, Robert. What do you got for us?
Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. I encourage everyone to go out tomorrow. I'm actually going to do a protest vote. I really did not like the way that the candidates kind of all folded up around Mandela Barnes a couple weeks ahead of the election. Folks that donate money, knock doors, text, call in the radio stations, things like that. It's really irritating to work on a campaign and then just have them give up a couple weeks prior. So I think all it's going to do is suppress the vote tomorrow. So I'm hoping people will come out and they'll vote for Pekarsky or they'll vote for Stephen Alacara just to show them, you know, we're not cool with this. This needs to stop. I didn't like it when they did it to Bernie, when they folded up around Joe Biden. I don't like it now. So.
Well, Robert, if you're going to declare yourself a candidate for any position, let's say state chief executive, the only honorable thing to do is pull out before you fail to qualify on the ballot.
Robert, let me, I totally get your point, man. I mean, I can appreciate that if someone, you know, put their time, energy, efforts, assets, you know, whatever into helping out a candidate and they pull up and you know, decide to do it as many of these candidates did. I can understand, and hopefully they did right by their volunteers, no doubt. But then why not if the protest vote, everyone's still on the ballot though, right? Like Godlewski's still on the ballot, Nelson, they're all still going to be on the ballot. You could still vote for that person as a protest vote as well, right?
Yeah, but it won't matter, right? At least you're better off if you go with the Pekarsky or Alacara, because that actually would matter. They're still in the race, right? But, you know, honestly, down ballot, there's a lot of races to pay attention to, too. So hopefully people will focus on that and come out for that, if nothing else.
Well, Robert, here's my tip of the cap. Peter Pekarsky, unlike any of the other candidates, may be accepting to a small degree Tom Nelson, and that might have been an economic thing. But Pekarsky embraced the progressive talk radio audience. And some of these better known candidates, you know, the Lazarys, the Godlewskis, and to a lesser degree, Nelson, although he did throw a few ads on, I would say had they embraced the lefty talk radio audience that you're a part of, Robert, maybe they'd have had something to stick around for.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah. Next time we should give the money to the radio station instead, because you guys won't drop out, right?
Not if we can help her, man.
No Christmas carols either. Not even on Christmas around here. 844-967-2789. That's sort of an inside joke. If you don't know it, you don't want to know it. Brett from Eureka, man. How you been?
Hey, Brett.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
Good. Hey, listen, I'm calling because I want to celebrate. It feels a little premature, but I feel like you guys are coming on board finally for that Inflation Reduction Act. What do you say?
Define coming on board for it. It's going to apparently go through the House of Representatives, one must assume.
Friday, I think they're warming everybody up for a vote.
And, you know, by like next week, maybe Joe Biden gets to have a little victory tour in the Rose Garden at least.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly what he needs, because I see what the Republican strategy is, and it is ad hominem attacks, or I don't know what the hominem is for men, but they'll attack the person is basically. They know that that Democratic policies are popular. So what do they have to do? They have to attack the person, which in this case is Joe Biden, right? Attack Joe Biden and then tie all of the Democrats running for office to Joe Biden, and that's their strategy.
But Brett,
they have no policy.
Do you think that's successful, though? I'm not clear that, I haven't seen Biden on the stump yet. That may change in the fall, but I can't imagine Joe Biden's going to go where he's unwanted. So I don't think you're going to see a lot of Biden on the stump. You might see a Buttigieg or something. But what I would say, Brett, is I don't know that the people of America are saying, well, Joe Biden sucks, and therefore I'm gonna throw out my Democratic congressperson. I don't think they are correct necessarily. And those that don't like Joe Biden, I think there's lots on the left that don't like Joe Biden. It's just that they find him uninspiring. And, you know, the combination of Manchin and Sinema up until now has left us wanting for legislative achievements. Now I'm great that they're getting one here at the end, Britt.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I'd rather see them get a couple more Senate seats, hold the House, and we might actually be on to something.
But that's the way we do it, is to have something to run on. So yeah. Right, Biden might not be hitting the stump trail to support these candidates, but if you can't point to legislative wins, both by Congress, by Senate, and by the executive, I think then you can go to the American people and say, look at what we've done, and what have Republicans done? They don't even have a policy coming out of their annual, whatever, hazy fest. I don't know what they call it.
They have a policy, Brett. It's we support Trump no matter what he does, and whatever he says is God Almighty. End of story, period. Next.
844-967-2789. John from Wausau, hopefully listening on Bull Falls Radio, WXEO. John, welcome. You're the first from Wausau.
Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to point on this vet bill that everybody's talking about, and I think it's kind of gross what the Democrats kind of did here. I know a lot of Republicans didn't like the $400 billion extra dollars that was added onto this bill as in pork. And the Republicans were trying to figure out, hey, why is this in here? This is what we don't agree with. That's why I'm going to vote no against this. And the Democrats just kind of said, I don't know what it's for.
Are you clear on that, John? Because that's not my understanding. John Stewart, who is a comedian, I grant you, it's John Stewart. But John Stewart came out and basically fact-checked this. He has been a strong advocate for the vets. And I'm a vet, man. I believe in the vets, John. My understanding is that was a clean bill, John. And the only thing that really changed was Republicans were feeling a little salty because Joe Manchin and Chuck Schumer, they felt like it pulled a fast one. So this was spite, John. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dominic.
No, that's my understanding as well. And I did see some of the discussion with Stewart as he was interviewed on some of the talk shows. That it was basically the same bill that all the Republicans and Democrats agreed on before. And the money thing they were talking about was really more of a moving around money. It didn't take anything, didn't make any big difference on the bill. It was just a reason that the Republicans used to stall it. Of course, they ended up going along with it, John. You know what I mean? And they went back to their original position on it. So it was just a hissy fit as far as I'm concerned, John. Unless you got some other info.
They had to, because I think they had to, because it's like either you say no on it, and then the Democrats say, you don't care about our vets. Look at this and look at that. And it's just, I get both parties do it. They prop people up, which is sickening. They say, either you do this because of this, or we're going to label you as this. I get both people do it. It's kind of sickening what they did, though, to say, hey, either you support our vets or you don't. And why commit political suicide with that? Why fall on that sword, I guess?
Well, let me read from the fact checks on this, John, because we want to get it right as often as we can. But I'm going to read from the fact check at Newsweek, specifically on the statement that John Stewart made about this burn pit bill. A Senate reading of the bill in June of 2022 was passed with an 84-14 vote. It was sent back to the House and returned with minor amendments. It was then returned to the Senate in July of 22. But a cloture vote, meaning to end debate, which takes 60 people, a cloture vote prevented it from passing for presidential approval. Now, Stewart points out in his video in which he says the bill that passed the Senate 84-14 on June 16 had not one word added to it by Democrats or spending fairies or anybody else. It's the same effing bill. Arguments about the bill's spending parameters caused senators, they say, to pause its clearance. However, one of Stewart's central claims was that the bill had not had one word added to it. This is true, according to the fact checkers. Between the bill originally passed by the Senate in June and the version rejected in July, and they do provide links, you can compare the bills, John. So I'm not making this up. Only minor changes can be found which do not appear to alter the substance of the bill, including funding. So there was no magic moving around of the money, John. It was just disingenuous grousing by Republicans. And John Stewart, I mean, John Stewart's been a hero for these veterans and for the 9/11 people. And it's amazing to me that Republicans, I mean, they claim they're the Patriots, John. Well, you're a veteran. I'm a veteran. I'd call us the Patriots. And I can tell you what, man, I want the benefits. And had I been exposed to toxic chemicals and I had some sort of health infirmities, I would surely expect my country to stand by me, Republicans and Democrats. I mean, we're all freaking Americans here, man. If somebody served, take care of them. This should not be a point of major conjecture and, you know, false lies. 84 to 14. It didn't change. Come back. More Devils. We never change.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. It is the last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789. I know we got some callers holding, but I want to get some of the sound out from today. The Inflation Reduction Act. Senator Bernie Sanders, one of our favorites, he was out talking about this today. We have a little bit of sound. Evan, I'm going to need your help on this whenever you're ready. Let's start with Senator Sanders, cut number 10.
Millions of senior citizens are unable to afford to go to a dentist. Imagine that. In the richest country on earth, people, elderly people, can't afford to go to a dentist. Their teeth are rotting in their mouths.
Which is really amazing to me. Some of the things Bernie's just so matter-of-factly states. And you
he's
think about,
always he's, right. And he's always for the people.
I know.
He's never about, like, I'm so cool. Like Ted Cruz, it's always about Ted Cruz. Donald Trump, it's always about Donald Trump. Most politicians are narcissists. Bernie Sanders, like I in college, Dom, I don't think the man owns a comb or a brush.
I'm the young one now, Crudy.
Well, why would I need one now?
Right. More from Bernie. Maybe this is on the floor. I'm not clear where the sound source is. But let's hear our buddy Bernie cut 11.
Under this legislation, the fossil fuel industry will receive billions of dollars in new tax breaks and subsidies over the next 10 years, on top of the $15 billion in tax breaks and corporate welfare that they already receive every year.
Yeah, that's just what the petrochemical companies need. More perks, Dom, because they don't have enough perks like depletion.
Well, you had to get Manchin on. Perhaps that was one of the costs of doing so. Bernie Sanders, cut 12, please.
If you want to know why there is so much anger and so much frustration and so much disillusionment within our society today, it's important to understand that real weekly wages for the average American worker are lower today than they were 49 years ago.
Again, to the point. Let's hear more about the rigged economies from Senator Sanders. Cut 13.
The people of this country believe, and in my view correctly, that we have a corrupt political system dominated by the wealthy and the powerful, and that we have a rigged economy.
It's rigged! Different sort of rigged, though.
Yes.
I agree with the economy is rigged against the working class. I mean, even Donald Trump acknowledged, it's only the suckers that pay taxes. I hope to be rich enough someday, Dom, that I'm exempted from taxes, like Bezos or the Tesla dude.
A couple more from Sanders. We have some Schumer, and then your calls, 844-967-2789. Bernie, tell me how the people feel. Cut 14.
I think what is most frightening in terms of where the American people are politically today is that there is actually a growing number of Americans who believe that they may have to take up arms against their own government in order to accomplish what they think needs to be done.
Final cut from Bernie, cut 15.
All of this speaks to a very, very dangerous moment for American democracy and in a number of ways it resembles the conditions that existed in Europe in the 1920s and early 1930s, which led to fascism and totalitarianism.
Again, right on point, Senator Sanders speaking regarding the Inflation Reduction Act. Chuck Schumer, a little more positive about it, on my understanding. Let's hear cut number 17.
Our bill reduces inflation, lowers costs, creates millions of good-paying jobs, and is the boldest climate package in U.S. history.
Bold, big and bold. Cut 18, please.
This bill will kickstart the era of affordable clean energy in America. It's a game changer. It's a turning point. And it's been a long time in coming.
Yes, it has.
Electric cars will be more affordable because, you know, on my next car, it's got to be green, baby.
They did extend the $7,500 credit, and also I believe they issued a credit for used electric cars as well, $3,000 or $4,000 on that one. Just a couple more. We're going to bounce around here. If you would, cut number 22, the Dems are united.
Throughout these last few days, every senator I said, please don't offer this amendment. Don't vote on this because it could pull apart the bill, even though you might need it. Just about every single person cooperated.
Just about.
That is pretty amazing. Let's do one more. Cut 23, please.
The Senate has now passed the most significant bill to fight the climate crisis ever. And it's going to make a difference to my grandkids.
844-967-2789. Let's get some callers in before the top of the hour. Jack from the Mac, you are up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Well, just quickly, you have an ad on that basically says when Republicans, when the Democrats are in power, the Republicans basically stall and fight everything. And that is exactly what's happening in Washington. And that's why we need to get a couple of more senators, and that's why we can never, ever let McConnell get become potentate of the Senate again. His statement in May of 2021, it said 100% of the Republican focus is on blocking everything the Biden administration does, has been absolutely true. You know, I only wish that the other half of your ad, which says, and you think that their Republicans are going to get reelected with this kind of an approach, unfortunately, they do. And that's what I find incredibly frustrating. I can't believe people do it, but they vote for Republicans.
Jack, they get boonswoggled, I believe I said. I want to sneak one more in here. Appreciate your call, Jack. Jeannie from Eau Claire. Welcome, Jeannie. What's your thought?
Hey, Jeannie.
Oh, I'll tell you something. Watch out for Michaels because he's in there for the money. You know, Foxconn, making money off Foxconn, making money off of dirty pipelines. So, folks, you want some more of what you got, and even worse, you vote for Michaels and then stick it in your ear. You guys have a great evening, and thank you for the work you do. You're doing an outstanding job. Bye.
Bye, Jeannie. Thank you for listening. You are an outstanding person because you listen. And I would encourage you to vote tomorrow in the partisan primary. There are some races that matter. And here's one to leave you with. Secretary of State. I'm going to encourage all my Democratic friends, and this is the only endorsement I'm offering, Doug LaFollette. If you vote against Doug LaFollette, you're not a real American. That's all.
Come on.
You're going to blow it. I mean, Doug LaFollette won when Scott Walker won. And the only way the Secretary of State's office matters is if Amy Loudenbeck wins that race. And if the blue-on-blue violence, this candidate that Sachin showed up with, more enthusiastic than the candidate herself, to name her as a candidate, let me tell you, who's going to beat Doug LaFollette? Nobody's going to beat Doug LaFollette because you're all going to vote for Doug LaFollette. Unless you're voting for Adam Steen on the Republican side.
Then you can't.
Thanks for listening. We'll do it again on Election Day. Please tune in.
It's a complete lack of respect for the law.
I was busy doing work. I serve in the Senate.